What kind of impacts might this decline have had on human health and the environment itself, the decline in these carbon emissions?
Well, the carbon emissions themselves are probably going to be a fairly short-term decline, assuming that economic activity resumes again in the next few months. There is also a short-term respite from horrendous air pollution in many cities, particularly in China and India, but also in parts of Australia and the United States and other countries.
Is it enough to have real significant impacts on curbing climate change in any way?
There are possible future beneficial impacts. It could be that we discover that we don't actually need to travel by air as much or by car, and these are fairly emissions-intensive modes of transport. So if we work more from home, if we decide that we can attend an international conference electronically rather than in person, then that would all be good for long-term reductions in carbon emissions. But in the end, this is at the 1% or 2% level, not at the 100% level that we've got to achieve by 2050, and that is actually not all that hard to achieve anyway by installing lots and lots of wind and solar.
We've heard, you know, anticipation of a snapback in terms of getting back to our daily lives, going through the same routines we went through pre-COVID. Unfortunately, might we see a snapback in these carbon emissions?
Well, if we get a snapback to where we were, what we were doing a few months ago, then the carbon emissions will come right back with them. I think it's not at all certain there'll be a snapback if we go into a deep recession or even a depression, as some people suggest. Then that would lead to maybe several years of suppressed carbon emissions, but all for the wrong reasons, of course. It's because people are out of work and suffering economically. Mm. There's no reason at all that we have to connect emissions with good lifestyles. We just need to decouple our economy from fossil fuels by installation of lots of wind and solar.
Indeed, on that possibility, you mentioned, of course, maybe suppressing it over the next few years because we are in a depression. Is there also the possibility with the economy depressed, we might be less likely to make some transitions over to renewables that we might have made if the economy was going well? We could see this situation worsen.
It's very hard to say. Wind and solar are cheaper than you build fossil fuel generation already and getting ever cheaper, and that's going to continue. Really, it's just a matter of retiring our existing aging generation plant built based on coal sooner rather than later. Mm. The sooner we replace it, the sooner we reduce electricity prices as well as reduce emissions. It's been quite remarkable what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years in the solar and wind space. It's come from high-priced electricity to the cheapest electricity. And the rise and rise of electric vehicles pushing oil out of the system and the rise of heat pumps pushing gas out of air and space heating in cities all are pointing towards really deep emissions cuts at effectively zero cost.
Mm. Well, this is terrific. I mean, obviously, there are changes to be made around governance and industry that you mentioned there. And you touched on some of the choices we might make as individuals going forward, you know, attending conferences electronically rather than traveling internationally and the like, working from home, traveling less and those sorts of things. In terms of trying to maintain some of these low carbon emissions once lockdown is over, are there any sort of other ways in which we might change our lifestyles you can sort of address that would help help keep emissions down?
Well, there's one thing you can do that doesn't actually require you to change your lifestyle. If you have a sunny roof, then put 5 or 10 kilowatts of solar panels on the roof. You'll not only help the environment, but you'll help your finances as well. You'll get your money back in about 3 or 4 years or even less in some places. And you can that will go a long way towards offsetting your carbon emissions. And if you have a little bit of extra money compared with some, then buy an electric vehicle, although they're still fairly expensive. They're coming down in price, and the more people buy them, the faster they'll come down in price. Mm. So that would be a really good thing to do for the environment as well.
I'm seeing more and more of those recharging stations as well, which is a good thing. And just finally, I noticed you've been involved in a student project named 100% Renewable Electricity for the Bega Valley, which advocates, well, as it says, 100% renewable electricity for the Bega Valley by 2030. Could you tell us a little bit more about the project and the results you've seen so far?
Well, the Bega Valley is a rural and agricultural region. It doesn't have any heavy industry. So that means it doesn't have a large amount of greenhouse gas emissions. Most of the emissions are from households and low-tech commercial industrial enterprises, you know, shopping centres and the like. This means that the rooftops in the Bega Valley are approximately sufficient to provide all of the electricity that Bega Valley will use. Even better, as we move to electric vehicles and as we push gas out of heating of water and air in by using heat pumps, electric heat pumps, we can not just get 100% renewable electricity, but pretty much 100% renewable energy, all from rooftops and a limited number of ground-mounted solar fields. So this is something that can be replicated in most places in Australia. The only places where it's a little bit more difficult are heavy industrial places where you would have to bring electricity in from solar and wind farms located elsewhere.
Well, Andrew, do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about these ones this morning.
A pleasure.